GMH Mobile, Charter City.
Negative. I was just about to say can't get any more full quieting than this because it's so quiet out here this morning. Then you two pop up.
Pops up as I do.
W8RCY is here.
Well, good morning. Well, at least morning. It's foggy.
Well, I've been up since 4:30, got the door wall open, got the bedroom window open, and got a nice, just a nice little calm breeze coming through. And it's Friday, which is the best part of it all. And I'm sitting here drinking my faux Starbucks coffee and just watching the daylight come.
I'm heading out on another adventure today.
Where are you set? Where are your sailings going to be set to I need more coffee for today.
On a downtown Lansing to change out some batteries, and then from there I go on to downtown Kalamazoo to do the same.
Do you want to come by and change the batteries in my smoke detector on your way back home this afternoon?
Gonna stop and get some nut meat.
Stop and get what?
And I take it that's an affirmative. If you're gonna be in Lansing, you gotta get your nut meat, your daily roasted, domestic and imported nut meat.
I thought about doing it yesterday when I was coming to Lansing from Battle Creek, but I'll do it tomorrow. I'm going to be right there. So I'm really going to be in that area. I got to go to the attorney's office.
Now I copy on what you guys are talking about. Nuts, okay.
As long as you get your nut meat while in Lansing, all is good. Wave hi to Gretchen. Show her your nut meat.
Yeah, I gotta get some cashews. Some of those monster cashews. Well, maybe a bag of salted fresh roasted.
I like those salt and peppered pistachios that you can buy now. I'm hooked on those. Those are like my weakness during the holidays.
I think my next trip I might do some walnuts or pecans or something. But, yeah, I don't know when I mean, I know I'll be there December for the December meeting, but, all right, Starbucks.
There's a place downtown Lansing, John, it's called the Peanut Shop. And it's fresh roasted peanuts. I mean, they got the roaster right there, and if you get there early enough, you can watch it being done. It just permeates right there in the store. And they got fresh roasted pecans, cashews, and walnuts. Everything's all crunchy. It's not, you know, like chewy like you get in the stores.
Yeah, I heard you, Sean and others were talking about it the other day. When Sean was going out that way on business, and he made a point to stop by, and I guess he got himself some stuff. But, my biggest weakness is pistachios. It's always been shelled or not. I used to go down to Germac in the Eastern Market area and get, you know, the big five-pound bag to last you through the holidays. But nuts I like, but I got turned off on them because every holiday season my parents would had the big old wooden bowl full of walnuts, almonds, you know, I mean, walnuts that you actually had to have the nutcrackers and the little picks to pick out the nuts and everything else. That kind of turned me off, but pistachios, yeah, I can sit there and eat a five-pound bag, whether they were red-dyed or not, and my fingers would be red for days, but I didn't care. And I'm still hooked on pistachios, but I only do it during the holidays.
We had the nuts in the shell, too, with the pick and the crusher and all that stuff. There used to be a big basket of that around the holidays. And I miss that kind of. I should start doing that, reviving that tradition. But the kids are all growing and out, so really wouldn't be passing it along. I think he used to throw a combination of red and gold and delicious in the basket as well, so you could grab an apple.
Yeah, apples, bananas, oranges. Yeah, the bowl of walnuts with the pick and the crusher thing. Yeah, I remember that too. My grandparents were famous for that.
That's when people were sensitive about others exposing their nut meat.
Especially them older folks. Can't on over to Don.
Well, I can concur with Sean about apples and stuff, because up until my marriage ended, the ex, myself, and my girls, when they were little, go up to Romeo, drive through Romeo and all those orchards and just bring home, you know, about a half a dozen bags of apples. And, you know, you eat some of them, you make pies out of them, or, you know, my ex-wife was pretty good at doing that kind of stuff with apples. And, yeah, that tradition ended when she left. But, yeah, I remember those days of having some apples and oranges during the holiday season. My brother ships me a case of a dozen oranges every since he's been down in Florida now for the last 5-6 years. I'll probably get another case this year of oranges from down there, and they're really, really good. I says, you know, next year send me 2 dozen. He goes, you're just my brother. You're not like a family, you know, like his sons or something like that. You'd send, you know, a couple dozen, but yeah, they're good.
Well, 12 and Mound, they've tore down the Victory Inn. They tore down the service station that was on the corner, and it is now a big open area. So the Sheets is on the way.
Yeah, I read something on that. That's crazy.
I should call my ex and see how far they are tearing down the old Sacred Heart Church there at Martin and Gratiot. And what was the restaurant, Apple Annie's? That should be gone, too. That whole triangular piece of land all the way east to where Martin and Utica branch off there before you would even cross Gratiot. I think they took all that property. But I should ask her how far that has progressed.
Well, I know the one that they're putting in at Van Dyke and 13 and a half, the... they had that one raised quite a bit ago, several weeks ago. So, kind of weird that they're putting one in at 12 and Mound and basically 13 and Van Dyke. It's like, holy cow. They plan on making them like 7-Elevens.
It is the Walmart of gas stations.
Well, I have yet to experience a Sheets, but I've been to a couple of Buc-ee's for racing weekends. Matter of fact, next month when I'm down in Atlanta, they've got them down there, and those things just blew my mind. And like I said, we're getting the Sheets up here, so I have zero experience with those, but I'll have a good comparison when they do finally open them.
My understanding is they're nowhere near a Buc-ee's, but, you know, it's a, like a much smaller scale, a similar concept. But, yeah, Buc-ee's is unique. There's nothing quite like Buc-ee's. I wish we'd get one of those, but if we did, it'd probably be out on the highway somewhere, and they usually are in areas where you... I can see one coming in Ohio, you know, off the turnpike, but... Michigan is a destination state. It's not a pass-through state. You could make the argument that there's a lot of trucking going between Detroit and Sarnia, but We're just not much of a pass-through state.
Never been to a Bucky's, but I've been to the Sheepshooting Airport, and that's all right.
Next month's race is in Braselton, Georgia. I don't remember the mileage, but we do fly into Atlanta, and then we're shuttled out to the track and got hotels. You know, all that stuff is there. But there's no, it's not a big enough town to put either a Bucky's or a Sheets in. It's just a small town. The track is outside of Braselton, and, you know, that's like the Michigan track out there and outside of Jackson, Tecumseh area. It's just out in the middle of nowhere, and there's nothing there either. So, but I agree with Sean. It's, except for southeastern Michigan and the traffic going into Canada through Detroit or Sarnia, there's really not, you know, again, it's a drive-through state, or excuse me, a destination versus a drive-through state.
Yeah, that's why you're never going to see toll roads here, or you know, I don't know if Bucky's would have any interest in opening up here on the freeways, but maybe, I don't know. They seem to cater. Well, I mean, they are a truck stop, so. We got the Detroiter, right? We got one or two, anyhow. Ah, well. So let's see if I got my antenna straightened up. Ooh, did they straighten my antenna? That might explain why, Mike was, working the Warn receiver so well yesterday on the net. Let me see. Did they get my antenna straightened out? Come on. Come on. Oh, they might have. I'll know more when I get in the right plane.
Sounds like Tom may have gotten a phone call.
And they did not straighten my antenna. God. How many times these guys are going to tell me they're going to do something and then not do it? Anyhow, I'm on location. Catch you guys a little later. WNFU.
Okay, I'm guessing Tom's on the phone or something. So, all right, you have a great day. And if you're out on the road running around trying to get your antenna straightened out, just be safe and make it a good one. And we'll see you tomorrow if I don't catch you later on today. W8RCY will be standing by for now. Tom signed off because he's at the office, but you kind of disappeared there, so we just figured you had a phone call. Well, your last transmission there was kind of rough. Your previous one to that was fine, so I don't know if you're just in a bad spot or what, but anyhow, yeah, so Sean's there. I've kind of signed off, so. All right, we'll let you get your day started, and don't forget your nuts, and drive safe and be safe. WARCY.
Enjoy the day. Once it gets warmer. 73 for now, KCAKJO.
KCAK.
Gary.
They caught the guy.
Here's it. Here's it. KCJOE.
WABD. Just a little public service announcement. They caught the guy.
Okay. Gotcha. I'm just sitting here driving it. I had to turn the volume back up. Every time I shut this radio off, the volume falls back down to the lower volume. It drives me nuts.
Very good. Okay, I got to get out of here, but it just flashed across my screen. I was sitting in front of a computer, and I thought maybe some of our fellow listeners might want to listen to the AM broadcast. Go ahead. Stop you.
Somebody's trying to key up the repeater, but you're too far out. KCACSU.
W8FU.
Neck of the woods, and just heading up to the Clem now, and might play a little radio, although we're extremely short, so it depends what's waiting for me. How about you, going into work?
Yeah, I was supposed to be there about 5-10 minutes ago for a meeting up, which I really don't give a crap about. So the answer to that question is yes. I'm heading to work. Today's the business meeting, but I got a lot of driving around to do. I got to head towards Farmington Hills. You heard me earlier. Got to go look at a hoist that's cracked. Guys, giving our technicians a hard time about repair it. And when you got something that picks up a $5,000 vehicle, you really can't fix anything that's cracked. You're supposed to replace it. So I get to go tell the guy that, no, we ain't fixing it. So that's how my day is going to start off. But this company's fairly receptive as long as somebody that they trust tells them it. So that's my goal. And then I go do some estimates and go back to the office. I was off the radar yesterday, celebrated my birthday, and that's about it.
A happy birthday, 59, right?
59 and a half. Just kidding. I wish.
Yeah, things got achier at 60. It's like the switch flips. 40 and 60, those are the two bad ones.
Yeah, 40 is when something started breaking. 60 is when a lot of things started breaking. So I get it. So that's the goal. Somebody said they thought you had a birthday this month, too.
Yeah, Monday, I think. 15th? Is that Monday? Anyhow, what's today? The 12th? So there's a 13th. Yeah, Monday. But anywho, yeah, 40 is where you start. You still want to do all the things you were doing in your 20s and your 30s, and all of a sudden you're going, oh, that didn't work out as well as I'd hoped. But you're still doing it, right? You're just kind of paying the price. And then 60, you're kind of like, holy crap, I can't do that no more. Pepper, I get it. All right, sir, my time is up. I'm at the office, so I'm going to go in there and interject all my old opinions, and they're all going to look at me like, oh, those are outdated, and ignore me. So I can't wait for it. I will chat later. Like I said, I'll be on the radio a lot, so I'll be doing a lot of radio on today. Chat later. WV. All right. Yeah, I'm Cass and Growth Spec, so I'm pretty close to my final. I might pick McMuffin before I get there. Catch you later. Travel safe. We'll talk to you throughout the day. W8FU.
KC Chili.
We heard you on 225 recently, Joe. KOE, Joe.
Yeah, that was me. Didn't talk the other day. I was on the, followed you all the way into Port Huron on the, Richmond repeater. We're on 96. We're almost stopped. We're almost at a complete dead stop outside of the construction zone. So I literally have absolutely no idea what's going on here.
Okay, I'm back. Sorry about that.
No problem. My name is KCHLE.
Oh, this is W8FU. I just wanted to finish up.
Roger, W8FU, KCHLE. Apparently, car got crashed into the guardrail, caught fire on 96, and that's what had it blocked up. I made a little semi-illegal hit the U-turn and ended up on 96 Global and was able to bypass it. I don't understand why the state police weren't burning people off that way anyways.
Well, I guess that's their problem. So, ooh, what's this? Multi-family garage sale. Sometimes those are good, sometimes not.
A lot of times you go to them, sometimes the air cabin is good, sometimes it's just all little kids' clothes and toys from multiple generations of little kids.
Yeah, you never know, so. All right, anyhow, I have just pulled into work, so get inside, figure out what's going on. We're short today, and guys are all out on the road, so don't go to the shop. Drive safe. Catch you later.
We get you further down the log. We have you, KCHLE. I'm at a few more miles to go, and I should be home, KCHLE.
WDAKLL.
KCHLL, KCHLE. I hope you're not stuck in that traffic on 96, KCJOE.
KF8DRC from WB8KLL.
KF8DRC, go ahead.
What's going on this morning, Jack? WDAKLO.
Nothing much. I just got an appointment for the denture that has to be straight. So that's where I am right now. How you doing this morning?
Oh, it's my day. My day. Jen's working today, so I'm just, batching it.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, well, sometimes it goes that way. Hey, that was a good question this morning. Do you have a camera at your house?
Yeah, so you got a trail cam that works with your cell phone, huh?
I work on the Verizon. Verizon and AT&T. You can buy those.
Yeah, I know you could do it for hunting and that, for sure. I didn't know you had one in your security arsenal there.
One is the back, the side of the house. Another one is where the shed is, because deer sometimes jump over there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they'll get in there. They smell them, those good vegetables you got growing.
Oh, yeah, they like that. They'll tell you one thing. They even ate the tomato plant. They don't eat the tomato, but they eat the plant. They nibble on them.
Yeah, I think I showed you my neighbor. He's got quite a garden, and he has to put a net up all the way around, over the top and everything. He said birds get in there, but he keeps it all nice and tight, nothing can get in there. But we got deer everywhere. Did you see those storks? I sent you a picture of yesterday. I looked out, and they're in my backyard there. I guess they call them blue herons, not storks.
They're good to have around, you know what I mean? But I don't know if you're feeding them or not, but I was thinking you can feed them. Those are wild anyhow. They eat anything.
Yeah, it was funny because we had some corn on the cob that went bad. We forgot about it. It was in the garage in a bag there, and it was kind of moldy. So I chucked it, threw it out there for them, and I'll be damned. They love that corn. They sit there, and with the long beaks, they sit there and pick all the corn off them cobs. They loved it.
Yeah, you know, because it's sweet. Sweet corn, that's what it does. And that's what all the, even the deer, they'll eat the whole thing with no time.
Yeah, roger that. All right, Jack, I'll let you go there. Get your general thing taken care of, and I'll be listening here. Like I said, I'm not sure what I'm doing yet today. I'll probably run around a little bit, but we'll be listening. We'll be clear after yours, WVAKLL.
Hey, good talking to you. Take care. KFATRC, I'm clear.
W8FU, ABEP here.
D-R-C.
Hammer.
cheeseburger and a large Diet Coke, 973.
Wow, where at? Is that Culver's?
Wendy's.
Oh, better be a good hamburger. They are a little bit on the larger size, I think. I haven't had Wendy's in a long time.
I know, it's just making reference to how much inflation has hit everything. Have you watched any of those videos lately on Las Vegas, what's happened out there? I mean, they are literally scaring people away.
No, it's just, you mean the prices?
Yeah, what they've done over there, they've taken blackjack, turned it 6-5 odds. They've taken the roulette wheel, throw a 000 in there now, and the prices are like over the top, and they're starting to lose a lot of revenue. If you're ever bored, like to do what I do, like flip through all sorts of videos and stuff and see what's going on in the world. Google Las Vegas. I guess it's a ghost town now.
Wow. Yeah, no, that hasn't been hitting my feed. But randomly what hit my feed was Nepal. Some British guy was moving his motorcycle. I don't know the whole context of it. He was moving his motorcycle. He, for some reason, he was taking a trip. I don't understand. But anyways, he was caught in Nepal, and he's like going through the streets, and they're burning down the parliament. It's like one of those things where you can't stop watching.
Yeah, I haven't seen that one yet. I did see a whole bunch about how they caught the guy that did the shooting. I saw that. That was a whole bunch of those showed up.
Yeah, I had the news on for the last 2 hours, and I was surprised there was no commercials, but I had the news. I usually don't watch news, but when an event like that happens, I get really curious. But they started repeating themselves, so I turned it off. But, yeah, good they caught them, and interesting who the suspect was and all that stuff.
Yeah, well, they got him. You know, I don't know, but it was a 200-yard shot. I mean, take all of the stuff out of it. Let's say you're a deer hunter or something. 200 yards, amazing.
All right, I hope I'm transmitting on the right frequency. Every time the scan goes off, it moves my transmit frequency. But, yeah. I mean, that was a far shot, and what he, you know, yeah, I don't like to think about it, but it's, like, crazy.
Well, looking at it from your own perspective, I mean, we all think we're safe. I mean, even innocently, something can happen that far away. You know, like, wow. But, yeah, enough of that subject. You working today?
I am. Fridays are always kind of like a paperwork day. All the stuff you didn't want to do the rest of the week, cram it all into the last day. So it's still work you don't want to do, but you got to, you know, you save it for one day.
Yeah, I'm heading towards Farmington. Stopped and grabbed a Diet Coke and a hamburger. So that's my goal. The 20th, we're going out to Nantucket and Martha's Vineyard for a little trip. I've never been there. And then the 1st of November, we're going to Las Vegas, but that's for work. I got to go work to see Michelle. So I'll be spending a week out there, too. So I'll get a couple more trips planned before the year is out. Looking forward to it. Maybe I'll bring my little two-pack radio with me and see how they work.
Yeah, that'll be interesting. I haven't really had much experience in, like, using them in crowded areas where people are just saturating the cell towers, but you got to remember these things are, I think you're talking about those POC radios. The 4G network probably won't be as saturated as the 5G. You know, everybody's got 5G phones, so most people's phones will be on that band, while these little guys will be on the other bands.
Yeah, well, you know, like I said, not so much the talkie-walkie part of it interests me as the technology of it does. And you start looking around and you start seeing all of the, how the Coke machine uses it, you know. So, you know, you go in there and swipe your credit card and say, you know, give me a bottle of Coke. That's how they're all connected. They're all, you know, they all use that. You know, rather than have the great big huge cellular connection, they just use a little bit of that. You know, boop, here's a credit card number, boop, it's authorized, you know, that type of stuff. So I think that that's where all of that stuff is going to reside.
Yeah, I was looking at the dashboard for my SIM, for that hologram SIM, and I noticed it connect. Most of the time it's on T-Mobile, but there were two sessions. And I'm not sure how cellular sessions work. I think you just, like, you open a session, and then you keep it open until you go to the next tower, and then it renegotiates the session again, and so you get different sessions for each tower. It switched to AT&T a couple times. Not very much, mostly on T-Mobile. I would say, like, 90% of the time it was on T-Mobile, but there was two or three sessions that AT&T was stronger.
You know, I think it's where you're at, because at my house, it's terrible. I mean, one bar, half a bar, things like that. And in my office, it was almost all the bars, and I'm in my office is, you know, it's half brick, half metal, metal roof. And in the office, it was like full strength. And I'm right here at 26 Mile 94 by the hospital, and it's full strength. So I think a lot of it just has to do with where you're at and what provider is being used, you know, and that, and then, of course, you know, how often does it say, is it using the best provider or is it using any provider it can get? You know, you don't know all the algorithms of it. But I'm sure, you know, as this gets popular, if it does, all that stuff will eventually leak out. So it's fun. Like I said, it's just it's more about the hobby, I think, than anything else. And that's the way all of us are wired.
Yeah, I agree. I think if you're a radio geek, you're going to be a radio geek. You're just going to try everything radio, whether it be ham radio or not. But, yeah, no, I think this space is to be watched. It's kind of like AI, right? There's so many different solutions for AI right now. And, you know, if somebody were to ask me, which one should I use and which one should I pay for? Like, if I have money to pay for one subscription, what should I use, right? And I can't give them a good answer, right? I've been dabbling with all of them a little bit. And even I have a difficult time. I think it really depends on what you need it for, what you're doing. Are you doing it for coding, or are you just doing it for research and playing around, you know? That's kind of the thing. And so I don't have a good recommendation for anybody. I just, like, it's more of, like, everybody's just going to try everything for themselves and make their own decision, just like what we do here in ham radio, you know? You're going to find, do I like DMR, or do I like Fusion, do I like P25, you know, all that stuff.
Yeah, well, like Sean says, it's about the T-shirt, on the T-shirt. On AI, my business partner, he actually owns most of the company, but he is in love with ChatGPT. Like, if he'll lease out something, he'll say, you know, hey, write me a contract to lease these columns out for this much money, for this length of time, with whatever the normal penalty is, blah, blah, blah. and that baby spits out the most beautiful letter you would ever seen. I mean, it just like, and it's like microseconds. It's just, wow. I'm almost starting to think our company is being run by ChatGPT with him at the wheel.
Yeah, I feel like it's kind of, remember when Google and search engines first started before we all, you know, the internet just started. I think it's kind of like that effect. If you start, if you're good at using the tool, it'll help you with your job. You know, you can make it help you with your job. I mean, I do a lot of, like, deep research, just experiments, just trying to figure out, you know, and nowadays, if you go and try to search stuff on Google, right, sometimes it's hard because you're being led to all different places. But if you go into one of these chat agents or AI agents and you just ask the question, you can keep on asking follow-up questions, and it refines the search, and it just gives you the information you need faster. Whether it's correct or not, you still as a human have to vet that information and see if you agree with it.
Yeah, what I've done is, like, where ChatGPT shows up, where I really don't want it to do is, like, I use Google a lot for searching, like everybody else, but, you know, there seems to be a bias in that as of lately. But if you do a search on it, you know, they try to cram their, you know, the first hit on it is always what their version of AI thinks it should be. And basically what I think that's doing is just copying and pasting a whole bunch of garbage and, you know, trying to compile it, making it look like something that's intelligent. So, you know, but I thought AI was also supposed to, like, not have a bias in it, you know, like, either way. And I thought that was one of the things that they were giving pushback, you know, because I think all these search engines were starting to throw some sort of bias in them, you know, where that I think that, you know, it was the original intention, like, it's not supposed to have a personality, but apparently they're starting to work on giving them a personality, you know, which is sad.
Yeah, I can see that, and there's, because a lot of the, if you look, a lot of the agents or the chat things, they are scraping the internet. So, like, if there's bad information on the internet, there's going to be bad information in the AI. What they need to leapfrog to next is let the AI kind of make a, I don't know if you'd call it a weighted decision, but maybe make a decision based on looking at everything. And but it's hard for an AI to do that. I was reading some article about something about, like, they want to start training the AI on visualization. They're kind of like looking at how a toddler learns, right? They see their world, they're looking at their world, and that's their reality. And that, you know, that kind of is the reality. They're looking out at the world, and this is what they're seeing versus what they're being told.
Yeah. That's true, too. I mean, everybody's thought process, their personalities, the whole ball of wax, it's all based on where they grew up, where they went to school, who their friends were, what they were around, everything else like that. You know, you had two kids that were born as twins, and you put one of them in England and one of them in the United States. Do you think that the child that got moved into England at a very young age would have the tally-ho, tut-tut accent, you know, that's acquired, I guess. It's not born in you, I don't think.
Yeah, so we just have to clone a bunch and put them everywhere. I don't know what the answer is. I think people smarter than us will solve all this, or they'll come up with a thing. And this space is to be watched, right? It's very, very young. And so we'll see how it matures. At some point, everything will converge to something, right? And I'm not talking about AI taking over the world or, you know, we're going to have Terminator stuff. But I'm just talking about, like, the way we use AI is going to converge. And hopefully we learn to be responsible with it.
Lots of speed traps set up around here today. I can't believe it. I have a little Google app that's saying that there's police ahead. Is it still there? Police ahead, is it still there? So, huh. So if anybody's heading north near where Wally lives, drive the speed limit today. Because so far I've seen three of them sitting in the little brush with their little radar guns.
Yeah, all I know is don't drive through Armada thinking that you're going to be able to avoid the 25 per hour speed limit. I've seen so many people get caught there.
Oh, yeah. That is definitely a speed trap town. You know, eventually, the state shuts that down. I had something very similar when I grew up was the west side of the state. They did the same Armada trek. I mean, the town basically survived on the 25-mile-an-hour speed limit thing for, like, 2 miles. And it was crazy being 2 miles. And then all of a sudden, this old story, but then all of a sudden, one day the state stepped in and said, you can't do that anymore. And they were the ones that changed the speed limit signs. And the town fought with them and fought with them and finally kind of threatened to take away their road funding if they didn't listen to them. And now that the whole section of road, like the minimum speed is 35, and there's a lot of sections of it that are 45. But literally from the time you started into this town to the time that you got out of this town, which is basically right at the I-94 corridor, it was 25 miles an hour. And they literally survived on that.
Yeah, I think Almont's the same way too. And that's why there's no bypass around it, because they wanted to, they were worried the tourists, or not tourists, but, you know, people traveling through it wouldn't stop or anything like that. But I don't know if that's still the same way. I haven't driven that way in a while.
Yeah, I know Armada is that way, and I try to avoid going because, you know, lately we've got a lot of projects in Lansing, and we're at 26 basically for all kinds of purposes. So we've been driving north up through Memphis and all the way up that way, and then getting on, what is it up there, 69, and then heading west. It adds on like 15 miles to the trip, but it cuts out like half hour worth of driving time. So, and if you're coming back, you definitely head north. You don't want to come back through 696. I heard somebody talking about the 696 mess. The guy said he's been here almost all his life, and he's never, ever remembered a summer where 696 wasn't getting work done.
Yep. Yeah, 696 is one of those. It's a vital one, and they're always working on it. But I don't know. You think it's because they made it a trench, and that's why it got so many problems? Like, you think it would have been better if it was not a trench freeway?
Yeah, I agree with that thought process. I think it's because it's the trench, and I also think it wasn't, you know, the superstructure underneath it was never done properly. You know, we've got at a lot lesser scale, we got the same thing in our subdivision, you know, where we live. Like, the subdivision's fairly new. I mean, I don't think it's much over 15, 20 years old. And the roads are awful, and I mean awful, awful, awful. And I just think it all has, like, build a house and everything else like that, it has to do with the foundation. And I don't think the foundation of the roads were ever done properly. So now I think they're trying to redo that. And then the other thing, too, of course, is the load. You know, I don't think they ever imagined when they built the roads that they were going to have that kind of, I don't want to say weight, but traffic, monitor traffic density. I think that that's part of it, too. Because we definitely are a non-public transportation community. I mean, all the way around. Good old Henry Ford did that. He did lots of trains and all sorts of things.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, it's Detroit. It's a history.
we're the auto capital of the world, so everybody should be driving a car. And, yeah, I don't like the bus system. The bus system's weird. But if we had, like, a train system, you know, the problem with the train system, though, is what happens when you need to get to do that Costco trip, right? You're still going to be driving a car. Like, I guess, I don't know how that works in, like, cities like New York. I guess people just don't go to Costco. They just buy things as they need it.
Yeah, I don't know either. And then once you get there, you know, so let's say that all the businesses were in Detroit. You were going from Central St. Clair Shores to Detroit, you know, and then they had a train in the center like they do in Illinois, okay? Does it drop you off right downtown Detroit or near the Renaissance Center or wherever you're working and then buzz you back, you know, something of that nature? Do you ever look at I haven't been there in many, many years, but if you ever looked at years ago the train that ran between, you know, the north and the south part of the highway, or the east and the west part of the highway, they were always pretty heavy, packed with people. I don't know what it's like nowadays because trains have kind of got a bad rap for crime, but back when I was growing up, because I grew up in the Chicago area, I used to remember that the trains were always crowded. Oh, and I think I took one to a wedding one time, as a matter of fact. Matter of fact, I know he did thousands of years ago, but I do remember that.
Yeah, I mean, it has to be planned. You have to plan well. Like London, for example, has got the subway, and they do a pretty good job. The European cities do a pretty good job, but they're also, like, you know, the whole country, United Kingdom, is like the size of Michigan, so they're not really that big. And then, you know, London area is just a small area. So, I mean, it works for that, and, you know, but, yeah, I don't think it would work here. We're just spread out, you know. We're just spread out too far. We like our being spread out, and, but, yeah, we definitely have our clogged roads, and those need to be maintained, but they got to figure out a way. They all got to work together, state, local, and whatever. They got to work together to plan these projects out. I think that would, if there was communication, I don't think it would be as disruptive.
And the same thing here. I mean, hell, look, we got commuter planes that go from Detroit to Chicago. I mean, really, think about it, you know. Well, the reason is it's quick and easy and lazy. You know, you can be there probably, a half hour, 45 minutes of your time by the time you get done doing all the screwing around. And then, of course, the other thing is you don't have to think. That makes it real nice, too. You know, okay, I'm going to get a 45-minute nap in while this puppy's going up and going back down. So, yeah, that's the other thing I do. I never looked at it that way, but I agree with you there. You know, we're more of a spread-out country, and we definitely got a lot of reason to go from, you know, whatever, you know, from here to North Carolina in an airplane, you know, poof, you're there. You know, like our trip I was talking about earlier when we started this queue, so, you know, going out east, yeah, we're flying. You know, I don't know where we're landing. She did all of that, but, you know, we're going from Detroit to somewhere. Ain't going to get her.
Are you guys going to do, like, Detroit to Boston and take, like, a little puddle jumper to Martha's Vineyard? I don't know. Is Martha's Vineyard an island, or is it, like, a peninsula type thing?
Well, seeing since I know she's not home and I know she can't hear me, I have no idea. This was on her bucket list, not mine. So I'm just going to follow along with her and say, where next? Where next? Where next? And then I'm going to act like I enjoy it. I might enjoy it, I can't say, but it isn't anything that I would have planned to do. But she's planned some trips that have been nice, and I'm kind of glad I did them. So I just roll with the punches.
Yeah, very good. Yeah, I know. If you can do that, I like to know all the details about stuff like on trips and stuff. I'm a little obsessive with that, but if you can get yourself in a state of mind where, okay, I'm trusting you to take care of it all and I'm just going to follow what you do, then that's the way to do it. That was one of Charlie. I saw a video with Charlie. You know, Charlie Kirk. They've been doing all those replays, and one of his videos was, you should go on, before you get married, you should go on a trip together somewhere, because, you know, unplanned things happen and all that stuff, and that's how you learn the most about your partner.
Oh, yeah, I agree with that. And then the other one is buy a house with her. I've been widowed for quite a long time, and before I met Marion, which is my wife, I had another girl, and I went with her for probably 4 years, and everything was hunky-dory, super cool and great. I thought, yeah, I can deal with this, I can do that. And then we bought a house together, and after we did that, that relationship didn't last 6 months.
Yippers. All right, I'm going to let you go. I better pay attention. And the dog's barking. So I'll let you go. I'll listen out. KFA does.
All right, take it easy. Have a good day. Just getting on 696 heading west. Copy it, buddy.
Good afternoon, Jack. Greg here, KE8VSI. How are you?
Hello. How are you today?
I am doing great. Just wrapping up the project at home. Put up a nice space station antenna on a high mast. And the last thing I got to do is seal the hole in my brick where the coax is coming out. So that was one more trip to the hardware store for some seal, silicone seal. Beautiful weather. All is well. What are you up to?
Nothing much. I just was outside for a little bit, cruising around, and all of a sudden, the GMRS repeater 675. It was back and forth. I was on I-59 driving, and all of a sudden, you know, it comes the one of them came and says, there is a show or something like that on for the GMRS people for Halloween. I laughed. That's the first time I heard that one.
I'm not even sure what that would mean. Maybe some sort of GMRS gathering or prepper gathering or something like that. I don't know. I'll keep an ear out for it.
No big deal. Otherwise, it's a nice day. And you know what? I looked at the weather. It's not even one rainy day out there.
Yeah, roger that. I just looked myself this morning. We got an entire week of 80 degrees. It's going to be ramping up in temperature as the week goes on, and not a raindrop in sight. My lawn's not going to be happy. I haven't fired up the sprinkler system this year because I hadn't needed to. Now I need to, but it's so late in the season, I probably won't.
Yeah, I looked at the grass too. It's drying out and all that. I was out there yesterday watering it, and I guess I got to water it today too. Keep it moisture a little bit.
Yeah, I took a chance because we had so much rain for really deep into the season. but it definitely stopped. We were getting a little bit here and there, and now we're getting nothing. So, oh well, maybe I'll fire it up. I don't know.
All right, Greg. All right, Greg, good talking to you. Take care. AFA-DRC.
All right, Jack, good talking to you, too, to you as well. We'll talk to you soon. Have a great day. KE8VSI.
KC8S, ZT, WAPIJ.
WAPD.
ABPR.
How many years ago was that?
I don't know. When the hell was the swap? Was that pre-COVID?
It may have been. I don't know. But the last 2 years haven't been a truck and then a few companies, but I did like having a truck because, several times we go to Menards to shoot a plywood and have nowhere to put the kids, and it was nice to be able to haul things in. Can't have room for the kids and not have to play Jenga with the car seats and whatever you bought.
Well, the four-door trucks, which are, the bulk of them I see hardly anymore, has solved a lot of that. But I like my arrangement. I think it's the perfect arrangement. I might have got a little bit lighter duty trailer than I got, maybe something aluminum and a little bit. Mine's a 5x10. Maybe I would have got a 5x8 made of aluminum or something like that. But I'm not unhappy with what I got. It's a pretty nice trailer. Comes in about 700 pounds. So that gives me another pretty near $3,000 I can pull. And, it's much easier to put things in that than it is in a pickup bed. It's a lot easier to get tractors and motorcycles and things like that up and in and out of it. So the a small SUV with a factory 2-inch towing package and a trailer is, for me, perfect. It checks all the boxes. Just don't get to hang my testicles from the trailer hitch and wear a red hat.
No, don't mind if that stop you. But, yeah, got pretty much the same setup, I guess. I got the Harbor Freight trailer. It's a 4x8 thing. Before you put the deck on and the size, it was like 250 pounds or almost 300 pounds, so it's pretty light. I can fold it up and store it in the garage for the winter and keep it out of the way. That's what I got going on. I've got made sides for it, and then I made little A-frames for when we got to haul the kayaks, so I can kayaks with A-frames. So it works out for what I need. The only thing I don't like that I could do with the truck is I could keep the skis in the back of the truck all year and just take them when I need them. Or now I've got the ski rack, which is like, you're strapping a kite to the top of your car everywhere you go. And then you got to put the skis away, otherwise it'd just be in the elements all the time.
Yep. So, it works out good for me. I still may get a truck at some point, but the trailer's worked out good. Like I said, if I would have got a little bit lighter duty trailer than I got, it might have been better. Probably should have thought that out, shopped a little bit more. But I don't know. I mean, what's your trailer weigh? Yeah, it's a 4x8. I'm a 5x10, but mine's steel. It's pretty beefy. It's a really nice trailer. Now, I paid about $3,000 for it, so one no slouch. And it'll last me, forever. But I'm just curious, what's yours weigh? What's it made of? Is it steel? And, lighter gauge steel or what? How's that? You say Harbor Freight. I know I was in there and I saw them. I eyeballed them, but I didn't pay much attention.
I want to say when I bought it, it was like 270 pounds for the box, So it's pretty light. It is steel, and it's all it's an IKEA trailer, basically, You got to put the thing together, so it doesn't come with a deck. You got to put a deck on it somehow, so And he's got a 4x8 sheet of treated plywood cut in half and got some bolts and bolted it on. All together, it's maybe 300 pounds, 350 maybe. It's pretty light. I think it's capable of hauling 1,700 pounds, somewhere around there. So it's not too bad. And plus, it's folded up, so I can fold it up, stand it up, and shove it in the garage. I had to do that when we were living in HOA because I couldn't have a trailer in the driveway. So it was nice to, that was really why we had to go that route, was to fold it up and shove it in the garage. But now I can leave it outside, but I've kind of got a habit of in the spring I put it, or flatten it all out and leave it outside, and then in the for winter I'll fold back up and shove it in the garage.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, mine's, there ain't no taking it down, that's for sure. You know, and it's got the big tires. I forget what they are, 15 inch or something like that. They're large, you know. And, it's pretty beefy. It'll handle, I forget how much, but, like 3,000 pounds it'll haul. It'll haul everything that my car is capable of pulling when you add its weight to the mix. But, I wish I would have got removable sides, though, or, you know, well, not really. I mean, I haven't noticed a problem with that. But, I don't necessarily need the sides on it all the time. I wanted high walls so that I could, you know, like when I was doing debris, like yard work, you're throwing just branches and stuff like that. It's really nice to have the high walls. But could have had high walls that you take on and off, I suppose, if I would have stopped it around.
Yeah, that's the nice thing. I've got, there's stake pockets, so you make whatever walls you need for it. So I can swap it out. I've got walls that are fully boxed in, or like I said, I have A-frames for the kayaks, and even when we went up to the UP, I had to figure out how to combine the two, because I needed the walls and the A-frames, so yeah, I got that worked out too, so it works out. The only downside to it too is it's pretty narrow, so it's hard to see behind you, so it makes it real hard to back up when you don't see it until you're jackknifing it.
Yeah, I imagine that could be a problem, so. My buddy Steve, I don't know if you've ever talked to any of them, but he and I have been going back and forth on chat about building campers. He's been looking at getting this foam board and fiberglass and stuff. There's a whole, like, forum and, like, there's a whole cottage industry of people making their own trailers, if you will. And what they do is they go get Harbor Freight frame trailers like that, and they build their own. And I thought, I got this stupid trailer. You know, I keep looking for something, just a bed to flop in when I'm traveling. I don't really need anything more, you know, more exotic than that. And maybe heat. Thinking, why reinvent the, you know, why go out and buy a whole thing? Why not just build something that I can just shove in the back of my 5x10?
Yeah, I've seen that where they like putting campers on the trailers, but yeah, it works. That's basically the trailer I have is what they're using for the chassis.
Meanwhile, I keep looking at those A-liners. I think we already talked about this, but the hard shell pop-ups, you know, you set them up in like 30 seconds. You just, you know, just pull the middle up and then just flip out the two sides and boom, you're up. And they're pretty lightweight. They're all, I think the biggest one's under $2,000. So leaves plenty of room for gear and whatnot. And they close down so that they're not terrible to haul either. Keep thinking, something like that would work out nice. Not a pop-up, but you have to kind of like, I guess if you look at it both ways, you'd say either I got the best of both worlds or the worst, you know. But I kind of view it as, you know, like you get the benefits of a pop-up without having to deal with some of the downfalls.
Pop-up's probably a better way to go to camper instead of hauling the whole house with you, but yeah, some of those get pretty crazy. My dad went from nothing to a full-blown pop-up, or a full-blown camper that they hauled on to Florida for a winter.
Yeah, I'm probably never going to do any kind of camping like that. I mean, most I'm going to be a couple of days, you know, in conjunction with some other thing, you know, like at some sort of a out-of-town event or something like that where they have camp. Dayton would be a perfect example, you know. So just a place to flop when you do something like that. And mostly just something, you know, to flop while you're traveling. And you know, you don't want to do a motorhome. Or do I? You know, that's what I was thinking about for the longest time, but pulling something small, like a little lightweight tow behind, something just basically a bed on wheels. I don't need to cook, although it'd probably be nice to have one of them ones like it opens up in the back, so if you do set up for a weekend, you could, you know, you can have that stuff, but I certainly don't need an inside dinette or a inside cooking or a bathroom or any of that. Just a place to flop, basically. A tent that's not a tent.
Yeah, I guess the other thing to consider is the hit the lugging that around in gas mileage. Cheaper than just getting a hotel room. unless you're going somewhere where hotels are far few between. A couple years ago, my dad decided they're going to start snowbirding down in Florida, so they come Thanksgiving, they haul the camper down there, get a lot for a couple months, live down there until spring, and then haul it back up.
How big is their camper?
It's not a fifth wheel, but pretty big. I don't know what the dimensions are, but it's a pretty decent size, enough for them to live in for the winter. But they tried hauling it with a light duty truck, and it would blow them all over the road. So now they had to get a 2500 just to keep it, just to haul the thing.
Yeah, and that was my question. Really, was how much, you know, how much they got to deal with. Yeah, that's a bit. You know, you don't want to be dragging that across the country, you know, and using that for boondocking or anything like that. Yeah, I'm thinking, I'm kind of the opposite. Yeah, I get it. No bathroom and, you know, and no slide outs or anything like that. So, you know, you don't have the luxury of being able to, you know, camp extended for weeks or something like that. Not without. I'm just looking, like I said, for a basically a tent that isn't a tent, if it's got any kind of, but, you know, I get that. That's good stuff, and if you got the vehicle to pull it, and, you know, and you're not having to do a lot of moving it around, then, that's pretty easy living.
Make it work. My dad's retired and his wife's able to transfer, so she transfers down to Florida for winter and works from down there. They're making it work. I get to shovel their driveway for them though.
I'm guessing they're probably about my age, give or take.
So, still plenty of time to enjoy the golden years. She's still working, he's not. So, that puts him right about my age.
Well, my dad, he's down to just working at a golf course. Summertime, it'll cut grass just to, they only really have to pay him. I just got to give him free golf, So, he cut the grass in the summer and then laid off for winter.
Sounds glorious. I got about, just about a year exactly, if everything goes as planned. My birthday is Monday. I'll be 64, and I'm thinking maybe next year when I turn 65. That's kind of my soft target.
Yeah, my stepdad got forced into it. He got his company. They would never invest anything in the company, and eventually everybody just outpaced them, and they ended up finally going out of business after milking it for years and years. And so he got forced in retirement, and my mom just was, I'm working from home Mondays and Fridays. I don't care. They'll walk out the door if you ever say anything about it. So she's kind of semi-retired.
Do you have attention or anything from the place you had, or? Because that'd be the thing I'd be concerned with, is the place goes belly up. Most of the time the good solvent pension is independent. I know ours is, although it's not likely our employer is going anywhere. But we've got a pretty robust and well-funded pension.
His company went into 401ks a long time ago, so he's a 401k, that place was just, the owner was keeping it open just to employ his kids. There was really nobody was doing anything. They had no customers. They were just keeping the doors open to employ the kids. Eventually somebody bought the company thinking they could turn it around, and got happy with the credit card and just never were able to turn it around. And finally, one day they came in and closed the doors.
Well, it happens. All right, I just pulled up at home. I'm going to get inside and figure out what the rest of the day looks like. Drive safe. After yours, WFU.
Yeah, I'm just pulling into the bus stop too. So, we'll see. 73 ABY.
AZ83 Mobile.
But you're only in your neighborhood for 2 minutes, right?
No, but close. I just left my neighborhood. I'm running up to Kroger. Or as we like to say, Kroger's.
Hey, do you have any T-Mobile Traverse City?
W8FU.
I still have an hour left going in. KTQ, but the dog owner of my sister, Kelly, 98.
Well, I caught most of that. You got an hour left and something about going to your sister's, and I think her name's Shelly. But that's about what I gathered. Kind of rough.
One hour till home, talking to sister from California.
Alrighty then. You're sounding good now. An hour left. Is it all drive at this point? You just on your way home and it's an hour drive?
Yeah, just 1 hour. I'm 69 east till I get to... with an M19 and then 7 minutes to the house.
What repeater are you on?
14-350 is Holly, believe it or not.
Alright, yeah, I didn't think you'd be hitting Holly and still be an hour away, but I guess you got quite a ways to go. So, oh, there it is. Hold on. Anyhow, so, mobile and along. Hopefully traffic's decent.
Speed limit 36 miles an hour, 10 miles west of Short
Street. Yeah, so you're kind of iffy, kind of in and out. I think this is a flip machine. I'm assuming you're, if you're on 69, I'm assuming you're still west of Flint, or not.
Yeah, I'm still west of Flint, and Holly is clear, but when I go to Flint, it's all kibbly garb.
Alright. I don't know the topography and the distances and all that. When I get up that way, it all gets kind of gray to me. I mean, I know where things are. I can head in the right direction and wing it, but I don't have the same sense of spatial awareness that I do down here, obviously.
Yeah, the topography goes up and down. There's a lot of trees, so I'm getting out for a little bit, and then I'm probably getting stronger as I get to the Bishop Airport. But I'll be in a bit. I'm going to talk to my sister. I'm like, I'm on.
All right, I'm not misunderstanding. You're off the call, right?
No, she's on the telephone. She lives in California.
Get off the radio. Talk to your sister. Good grief.
She says hello to us. I'll be back in a bit.
All right, yeah, I thought you had talked to her, but then all of a sudden I said, wait a minute, are you talking to her? Yeah, get off the radio, talk to your sister. Tell her I said hi, and we'll catch you later. W8FU.
NAWRO. Hi, Sean.
Not 100% sure. The audio is quite low compared to Tom, so not 100% sure. I think it might have been Tim.
Let me switch radios. Is this any better?
Yeah, it could be a combination of things. I'm, you know, I got road noise and my GPS was yapping at me, and Tom was considerably louder, so let's give it a whirl. Let's not focus too much on it at this point.
Well, I appreciate your help with the technical problems on the net last night. I didn't catch that until kind of after, and when I went over the Discord talk there.
Yeah, and the thing is I'd have had no idea, except Tom texted me and said, is there some problem with EchoLink? He's just hearing beeps. So I tried it real quick, and sure enough, it was just, you know, little blips coming through. And so then I tried DD switch, same thing, and then I said, all right. You know, so we've got digital issues. VoIP was the same way. I did a reboot right in the middle of you taking check-ins there, and everything came back, so. But it was Tom bringing it to my attention. Otherwise, I would have never known. It would have just ran like that.
Yeah, I noticed he checked in right after you fixed it. So put two and two together and then read. And I was, oh, okay, I see what was going on there. And also, I did speak to Dave, so I think he's going to get with you about you know, that idea we discussed of having some appropriate volunteers he recommends, and we can assist you with things of that nature if you're so inclined.
Yeah, so I'm going to think about, you know, because there's a few ways we can do this. So I think I want to just kind of like, you know, I like the suggested group. And I think at this point we'll decide what the, you know, how we want to do it. Because, you know, you can do it over the Internet and you have a lot of control, but I have to do some back-end adjustments to grant that level of control. And I got to look into it a little bit. I haven't dealt with All-Star 3 and see if they have, you know, different logins and stuff like that. So I'm going to have to figure that out. The other way is we can do it, you know, the easiest way is we could do it with DTMF commands, and, you know, we just have to figure out what we want to do. There's probably a handful of things, you know, and those could be disseminated even more broad than the core group that we were discussing. But let's not get ahead of ourselves. Let's figure out. Thinking it, you know, the first one will, I think everybody's pretty familiar with All-Star, and really that's all you're doing is you're just controlling an All-Star node.
Because I took note of the DTMF commands. I have them like posted here. But yeah, if we want to do more than that, maybe a little training session, I don't know, over Discord, whatever you think. But you're right, it's not going to be that much. We just, obviously we don't want the group to do anything they're not supposed to. Just what you want them to do.
Yep, there's a couple of things that are really no-nos. They cause a lot of grief, and if we can avoid those, then we're golden. But I'm just pulling up at my destination here, so I'm going to jump, grab my stuff, and I'll be back out here shortly.
Sounds good, Sean. We'll talk later. NAWRO.
Okay, I'm back.
I'm here too. That was a decent net last night, I guess. That was the question that Tom had was, I don't know. I guess it was good to think about it because I looked over at the radio and said, I don't think I can front panel program the DMR.
It's not bad once you figure out what you got to do. You know, you got the, you know, the time slot and the color code. You know, you just, it's like PL, you know, it's just, you got to know a couple of things, time slot, color code, and talk groups. So, you know, now you got to know three things, right? You know, so, and then you got to, you know, you got to get to them all, so there's that. But, you know, some radios will let you do it. Like, I've got an Anytone 878 handheld that I can do it on. And I've got a TYT that I put some modified software on it, and I can do it on that one. But, of course, my Motorola, I can't. But then Wally has the same Motorola, but it's a different firmware, so he can do it. So, if you got a Motorola commercial radio, there's a chance you can't do it. But then that's the same if you're running a CB1250 analog, same thing would apply. It's not unique to DMR.
Well, I'm the one that's got that Connect Systems radio, and I'm looking right at it. And Wally does say it's a sort of a Motorola clone. It's just got the four P buttons on the bottom, and then the up arrow, down arrow. That's it. So I'll do a deep dive, but I don't think you could even possibly front panel program it. The only way to do it would be to bring the laptop and the programming cable with you, I guess. I'll have to take a look, though. I'm not 100% sure. But as far as programming it by the CPS, yeah, I'm getting better at that.
I'm driving right into the sun. I just got my sunglasses on. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, you don't have to have anything more than a cursor, you know, up, down, right, left, and a dial, you know, because you could just keep bumping into a menu and then using the cursor to get to the thing you want to change and then rolling it to change it. So you could, you know, it would be pretty cumbersome doing DMR because you'd have to select, there's quite a bit you'd have to select in addition to, you'd have to roll through all the frequencies and offsets, and offsets would be automatic, and the color codes, time slots. So those are just a 1-2, you know, just a either or kind of a thing. Well, color code. It would be a little complicated, but wouldn't say it couldn't be done. Not likely.
I guess it was a reasonable question for Tom to ask because it got us thinking. How about that? And then the other thing I would just say is we're just in the Macomb area, or let's say the D2 area, although I doubt we'd go down to Monroe or Washtenaw County. But, you know, the D2 area, let's just program everything because our radio's got enough memory. We can do that, and we're done.
Yeah, I mean, it's a valid question. It's an important thing to at least be aware of, you know, aware that that's a limitation that you have, and then plan accordingly, you know, like you said, load it up, you know, try to make sure you got everything. Like, you know, there's always a scenario where you get there and they'll say, hey, we, for this reason or that reason, we have to go to this alternate frequency, and if you can't plug it in, then, you know, that could be an issue. So, but, you know, most ham radios will let you do that. And, you know, it's about 75-25. It's not 50-50. I'd say 75% chance, 25% chance. Although we tend to gravitate towards the ones that can, so I don't know, maybe that sneaks it back to 50-50.
Well, so far I'm happy with this one. I have to figure out how I'm going to mount it in the Ford. It's got the detachable faceplate, so I think I'm going to definitely take advantage of that and put this the main radio probably in the back, and then get this up front, probably on a Lido mount, I guess. I don't know. We'll see. But it works fairly good. Connect Systems. I never heard of them before, but that is the one that, what's his name, Jerry out in California, I guess. He's been selling them for quite some time, I guess.
Yeah, so I've been
I've been working with Connect Systems products for decades, commercially less than in the past, but I wonder if they're connected to the Connect Systems CSI, like tone panels and tone remote products, things like that. We used to, you wanted to add like a DTMF encoder, decoder, you know, to your radio, you would order a board from Connect Systems and you'd install it in your radio. And a lot less of that going on in this day and age because most things that, you know, most radios can easily add all those things that used to be very difficult to do natively. Still, there's still need for it, you know, and when you need it, sucks, you know, you can hardly find it anymore, but that company was Connect Systems. I wonder if it's the same company, and that's just where they're branching off into.
I'm going to say it is indeed the same company, because when you go to their webpage, you land on the webpage, first thing, two choices, ham radio, amateur radio, or commercial. You got to click one button or the other, and it takes you in the right direction.
Well, I'll have to check that out. And I do remember hearing about that radio. I think I know one other person that's got one. But if I saw it, I don't recall. And it seems to be working for you, though. So that's good. I got too many radios. I've been looking, and I think I really got to just start. And I may do that. I may just start throwing a bunch in the trunk and going to the local trunk swaps and stuff and just start getting rid of some of my radios and just maybe get down to a couple that do what I want them to do, you know?
I hear you. It's kind of like if I haven't turned this on in a year, maybe I don't need it then.
You get a Motorola APX 8500 for my car. Get an APX 8000 for my handheld, and then I don't know what I'd do for DMR. Probably just get a 7550 and call it a day, and that'd be it. Get rid of everything else. I've got a really nice XDL, UHF XDL, that I've been really thinking about putting in this vehicle. UHF's about the only thing I run in this, well, at all, but in the car. And I don't like the big antennas. I just like a little UHF quarter wave, so might as well just commit, you know?
Oh, heck yeah. Of course, in your situation, in the not-too-distant future, you'll be giving up your county radio, so you got to make sure you don't overdo it, and you got enough coverage for that.
Yep, I'll be giving up my Glorious 8000, which is my go-to main radio. And I'll have to pick if I want to do P25. I'll have to use my XDSs like everyone else. Unless you're John.
Did you see what he just posted on Discord? He's probably under the water now. Those tanks, I couldn't do what he does with those dives.
I saw him talking about it, and I heard him talking about it out here as well. And, yeah, I knew that was his thing, but it's the first time I'd ever seen him going out on that. So, I don't know. I'm not a swimmer, but if I was going to have a tank and go under, I might, with the flippers and all, I might be able to handle that, but I don't know. I think you'd want to be a strong swimmer. I think I could try it.
The only thing I ever got close to that, and it wasn't nothing to do with water, was the Scott Airpacks, the MSA Airpacks we trained with, and we used theatrical smoke, and we had those on, and we did the, you know, the fireman crawl to rescue in the inside of the area we were working in, and It was fun, but there's a couple of the guys who just got freaked out, and they said, nope, can't do it. You know, I said, okay, fine, you can give it a try. They just got too claustrophobic. I couldn't imagine. I had no problem with that, but I don't think I could do it underwater. Nope, 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 not for me. NAWRO.
And I honestly can't say how I'd react. I think I'd like to try it sometime, but probably not. I don't think they could find a wetsuit they could slide me into.
Oh, yeah, same thing for me. I'm well beyond that point. Although recently I've been doing good until they took my GLP-1s away. But let's not talk about that.
Roger. Yeah, I would look like a bratwurst.
That was a good meeting on Monday, just to cover a lot of the bases. And nice to talk with Paul. And, of course, Wally was there as well. So it was good. We'll get stuff done. There's always too much to handle at one meeting. And, of course, once they put the food in front of you, it's like, oh, we got to take a break here, fellas. We got something to eat here.
Yeah, I made that one at Portillo's. There was another one that was too far out. And then this one wasn't bad. I could have probably made this one. But my problem is, it's just long enough. I leave at 3:30, so I'd have to sit there and twiddle my thumbs for a while. And I'm ready to get the hell out of there at 3:30. So that's probably my biggest problem.
Yeah, I actually thought about that, because if I rewound quite a number of years ago, same thing for me. I would get out relatively early and just have to hang around in the Clem for a while, and who really wants to do that? So
exactly. So there you have it. All righty, I am on my final approach here, and going to get inside with the Vittles. Thanks for driving along, and we'll talk more about the other as time goes on here. W8FU, after yours.
Sounds good, Sean. Have a good one. N8WRO, clear.
Hey, WK, set testing.
KF8, CWF.
KF8, DIC.
All right,
got that one nailed. I thought I heard him, but yeah, that was him.
Hi, Brian. I'll see you tomorrow. KFADIC.
Both of you guys need to go to sleep if you're going to make it to breakfast in the morning. W-A-R-C-Y.
I got 45 minutes before bedtime, but, yeah, I will be in bed at least an hour to make sure that I make it there. KF8-CWF.
WRPL 436, WIUG 48, Rochester, Michigan.
Wrong frequency, Jack. You're on ham band.